They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining us today on The Commons, we have Vicki McHale. Vicki is co-owner of ARC Management in California. She's been at this for 23 years, and she's smart enough to get paid for it. Vicki, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sue. It's a pleasure to be here. I always enjoy being on your show.
Well, you've been kind of busy, and unlike most managers who seem to find reasons why everything is perfect and it's just always the homeowner's problems, you recognize that there are some issues and there are some problems, and you've written an article about it, and you've also sent a letter to Governor Jerry Brown, sort of talking a little bit about some of your concerns, and we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Great. And I would like to say, Sue, I think there's a lot of managers out there that recognize that there's a problem. The problem is they're afraid to speak up because they really don't feel like they have a voice because they're stuck in the middle. I, on the other hand, have always tried to walk my walk and talk my talk, so to speak. And I think it is time that we really start the conversation. And that's what I've been trying to do through my LinkedIn writings and even my writings through CACM, because we need change.
Well, you're right, because I've talked to a lot of managers and I've talked to a lot of CAI-affiliated attorneys, and they'll agree with me and they'll agree with you, but you're right, they will not say so out in the open. There are a couple of exceptions. But most of them say, you know, if you repeat this, I will deny everything. I will deny having said this. But the problem is everybody's pointing fingers and nothing ever gets solved and resolved. And I think you made a couple of points here that I think are excellent, and we're going to get into those. But one of your main concerns that you've been writing about is the fact that things seem to be falling down around everybody's ears, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's funny because initially when I got into the industry, I worked on brand new projects. And so in brand new projects, you take something that's already perfect and you have a decent board and things go along well. Well, now I'm in a different situation where I'm having to take on a lot of the older associations, and some of them are just in a deplorable condition, and people don't want to admit it, or if they want to admit it, they can't figure out how to pay for it, and it's getting dangerous. Every year, more and more life, health, safety issues are coming in, and you had sent me some pictures of decks actually falling off the buildings. We had the Berkeley issue where people were killed. I have an association where a set of stairs just fell right off the building. And another one, the other day, my manager was walking by, and, you know, 30 seconds after she walked by, a huge slab of drywall just fell right off the building. And these are things that only by the grace of God nobody was hurt, and it's becoming more and more common as these communities get older.
Vicki, how old? I mean, we're talking about the same concerns. You and I both have the same concerns. You and I are looking at them a little bit differently, and I think it's good that we're talking. But how old are these buildings that you're talking about where the stairs fell and the stucco fell off?
You know, Shu, it seems to be that age, probably when we start falling apart ourselves, in that 40 to 45-year age range. It's almost like you could sweep things under the carpet up until that time frame is where I'm seeing it. That 40 years seems to be the magic number that I'm seeing. It could be different. That's just from my perspective of what I have had to deal with.
Because I've been watching them build things over here, and I, on this show, talk about building houses out of cardboard, scotch tape, and wrapping them up in plastic. I am absolutely appalled by the way things are built. My grandfather built a hotel, so it's open to the public, and you've had people in and out, and in and out, and in and out. Over 100 years ago, it is still standing. None of the stairs have ever collapsed. None of the balconies have ever fallen off. They built a house next door, I don't know, about 10 years later. Nothing has fallen off. And so why is it that we're building things so shoddily and that there's no adult supervision when it comes to that? I mean, we're paying taxes for services that we're not getting, and developers have to go in and get permits and pay for them. And where's the local municipality? Why aren't they ensuring that things are built properly and things are going to stand?
You know, that is not my area of expertise. The thing that comes to me right off the bat is the cost of living nowadays and how expensive things are, that if things were built the way they were and the materials back when they used to use real brick and what have you, the brick and mortar, the costs today are prohibitive. Now, I know the standards for earthquake stability, those types of things are better today supposedly than they were way back when. But the reality issue is in the state of California, and I don't know about others, 40% of the home cost is just the developer recouping the expense from the local municipality in the fact that they have to donate land or they have to improve the roads and the streets and the infrastructure and all of the different requirements for making sure that there's no bugs or birds or what have you. So that first 40% is nothing but recouping their overhead costs from the government. So if you really think about it, in order to build a home like your grandfather did, the costs would outprice Americans for getting into a home. I mean, right now, single-family homes used to be where you know, you started out in a condo as a married couple, and maybe you retired in a condo. But as soon as you had kids, you moved to a single-family home. Well, that's changing now because affordability is putting people in condos now. I mean, condos, you didn't used to see kids, and now there's kids everywhere. Of course, they're still not building for the fact that there's kids there. But I think it comes down to affordability and trying to move that product. So if they're cutting corners, that's probably where they're going to start cutting.
So, you know, you're absolutely right, and they do that over here as well. I mean, if I look at the development that I'm in, we've donated a high school and two or three parks and roads and, you know, all of that, and that's part and parcel of the cost of our house. But the houses are built out of shit, literally. I mean, it's absolute and utter garbage. I live in a much older place, so it's much better built than the stuff that they're building today. But, Vicki, it's a disgrace. The way we're building is an absolute disgrace. And I don't know how much cheaper it is if you're going to be stuck with a $100,000 special assessment to put the shingles back up on the roof or to get the stucco back on there. Why are we doing that? Why are we, we're paying the same taxes?
You know, it's a holistic approach, Sue, and I think I was thinking about this before we got on here today, is the left hand is not talking to the right hand. And the problem that we're experiencing right now is that there's many different aspects. There's the local government aspect in that they're forcing HOAs because
yes.
It's a gold mine for them because they're deriving their income off of taxes. They're shifting their liability to do anything. The developers are having to deal with this. So in order to make money off the land they paid a premium with, what are they doing? They're putting houses closer together. They're putting in less amenities, and they're building more cheaply. And they're not necessarily providing the right funding for the reserves off the top because the homeowners don't want to pay assessment. So the lower that they can get that artificially or not, you know, the easier it is for people to qualify. So you have that aspect of it. Then you have the homeowner aspect. You have the management aspect. And then on top of that, you have the state government, which the state governments are trying to legislate the problems that the local government are creating through this, everybody's fighting one another, and nobody's really talking. And I believe so much in the universal law of attraction. And if all you put out there is negative, negative is what you're going to get. And I go on Facebook or I go on LinkedIn, and everybody's just fighting, and nobody is sitting down and saying, you know what, we have a problem here. And it's not just in California, it's national, and we need to talk.
You know, the thing is, we elect our local municipal governments. We elect everybody who's supposed to be representing us. They're dictating and telling us what to do and how we're supposed to live. Because you're right, they mandate HOAs. So they've taken away the choice that we had.
Well, and I think it goes way past that because, you know, I look at the state of our government right now and just what we're going through on a national level, and the reality is I'm in politics every day. Each one of those HOAs are its own government.
Yeah.
And what happens because of homeowner apathy, nobody gets involved, nobody demands a higher level of board member or a higher level of whatever it is, the governing documents or starting from scratch. And you know what? When you advocate your power and you're negative, what you get is negative. So if you look at our government, we, the American people, have allowed the candidates that we had a choice to vote on last year, and many of us just voted who we thought was the best of the worst. And it's no different in HOA. So you're absolutely right. We have abdicated our power because we as Americans have not demanded something better.
Well, we allow the local government. It's a case of the tail wagging the dog. We allow our local government to be sort of to dictate what we're supposed to do when, in fact, they're supposed to be our servants.
That's right. In a position of leadership, they are there to serve, but they're not serving.
And all they're doing is looking for more ways of getting more taxes and more taxes. Our local government here tried to put a 10% meals tax, impose an additional 10% meals tax on everything. And fortunately, people in Fairfax County said no and voted no on it, although there are a lot of people who thought this was such a dandy idea because it was for the children. You're taking food out of the children's mouths and it's for the children when the local local government gave themselves a 20% raise and nobody, none of their constituents got a raise. In fact, most of them lost money and they're giving themselves a raise and then they're trying to find more ways of getting into your pockets. And they're making you feel guilty because it's for the children. And we're allowing it to happen, Vicki.
You're absolutely right. I mean, hey, look it over here. Here's something shiny. If we take your attention off what it's really trying to do and we throw something in there like the children or the homeless or what have you, people are making emotion-based decisions. Look at the California lottery. The whole California lottery was supposed to help improve our schools. And so everybody really jumped on that bandwagon. But the reality is yeah, the some of the lottery money went to the schools, but what they did is whatever money the schools got, they took out of the government funding. So it didn't do anything. It's bait and switch, and we allow it because we're busy doing everything else. I got to get home and get on Facebook, or I got to, you know, I'm working 12 hours now for less money because, you know, there's less staff and I've got to do more to make less and I've got to get the kids to soccer and all of these different things. So we're so busy living our lives and the end result is we're stuck with this because we haven't found the time to get involved and demand better. And I can't fix the world. I think I have some ways to perhaps address the HOA management industry, but you know we're stuck in the cycle of negativity, and it's the law of attraction. I keep coming back to it.
Well, it is the law of attraction, but you know, you make the comment. I mean, I've printed all of your stuff and brought it in here. You talk about this poorly thought out system. I live daily with the cause and effect of a poorly thought out system. You also talk about, and when I said at the beginning that you raised some issues that I hadn't thought about, but I think they're absolutely, absolutely imperative to put on the skyline and talk about them. And you say the failure of homeowners associations basically guarantees the financial failure of every single municipality within the state of California. I'm going to expand that to the country because, you know, what happens, what you're talking about is happening here and everywhere else.
Everywhere else. Yeah, maybe not to the extent in other states, but they're certainly catching up. And, you know, that's part of the thing is I see this fight as being us against them. We need to get rid of HOAs and they need to go away. And that's not going to happen ever because of this. And I want to backtrack first because I want to make it very clear. I'm very passionate about my industry, and I think there's a lot of great things that come through homeowners associations. The problem that I see it is what was once a lifestyle choice for a few has now been forced upon Americans, and that once lifestyle choice has now become big business, and we are still operating the way we were 50 years ago or however long ago in trying to set up these communities, but our world has changed, our demographics have changed, and everything has changed. So I just want people to understand that the reason why I'm fighting and probably going to put myself in a bad position with a lot of my colleagues is because I am passionate about it. But we have to do better, and we have to make things better. And it's not going to be HOAs go away or we continue to do business. The only way things are going to get better is if we start talking and we start making global change that we can all live with.
You know, you're absolutely right, but you just made a point that this was a life choice when it started, and there were alternatives because of the financial gains to both the local municipal governments and, in a sense, the developers. Because in the old days, you had a little more room. Now everything is common area. You know, instead of having a yard that you can control, it's all open, it's all common area, somebody else is supposed to be maintaining it, somebody else is collecting the money. It's not yours anymore. And I think that's a problem. It's part of that ill-thought-out plan, but it benefits everyone else except the homeowners. Now, some people may choose to live like this, and some people may prefer that, And they should have that option. But to say we're never going to go back to being, you know, having private property again, that's a right that I think most people are not willing to give up, have not given up, and may not want to give up. So give people choices. I mean, the industry will still be there.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, the industry will still be there. There, you know, but you won't be fighting the fights because the people who want to be there will want to be there, and they're not forced there. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes absolute sense. I don't know, as long as there's, you know, streets and streetlights and drainage facility and all of these things, if you're going to get the local municipalities to buy into that, because they still have to go in there and do some type of maintenance. I see the biggest problem not so much in single family homes. I mean, they have their problems. Their issues are more of the, you know, overzealous enforcement of rules and regulations and architectural. But the common area amenities in a single family home community are more like the pools and the tot lots and the parks, where, you know, bad maintenance in those areas aren't going to kill anybody. Or, you know, you have a morale problem where it's much easier to kind of topple a bad board and get things back on track. The people that are really suffering and whose lives and whose, I don't mean to sound so doom and gloom, whose property values and investments are truly at risk are the condominium associations, where everything is common area, and the focus, because in my mind, the reality, the concept of reserves is very simple, but the reality of it is overwhelming, and the proper funding for it, a lot of times people don't want to do. So I see that as really being where our problem is as far as maintenance goes, more so than the single family home. At least in a single family home, you still do have your little piece of apple pie in America, as long as you keep everything below the fence line and your neighbors aren't nosy.
You know, what's the difference? I mean, you posted something about the little pink house, playhouse, and I had Bobby Goolsbee, the grandmother, on. And why is it such a big deal that they've got this little pink playhouse? I mean, that's a single family home. You know, the governance is an issue, and that's an issue across the board, because you get board members who are just, you know, they've never had any power in their lives, and the power goes to their heads, and they're off. They think they're doing God's work by micromanaging their neighbors and saying, oh, you've got terrible taste because you've got red rose bushes instead of pink rose bushes, and, you know, you've got to take them out, and you didn't get permission for that garden hose, and you know what? You've got a dusty mailbox. How dare you have a dusty mailbox? You know, Vicki, I'm not kidding you. These are actual issues. These are actual...
You know, they are actual issues, and it's part of the global problem of this industry. And, you know, I look at that pink playhouse, and I look at the attention it's getting, and the fact that there's this little girl who has a health issue, that she goes into this area to get her breathing treatments. And it's someplace that it's easy to keep clean and keep the dust out so that she can breathe, and they want you to take it away. And I'm looking at the picture, and granted, I only saw one picture, but I see this huge yard with absolutely nothing in it. I see the next house is probably at least, you know, 75, 80 feet away, and I'm thinking, why is this an issue? It even said in the article that the homeowners were willing to paint it or do what have you. So I'm looking at it and I'm saying, you know what, from a governance standpoint, from being a decent human being standpoint, have them maybe painted a different color. You could put plant material around it to hide it. I think I saw that when you drive into the community, you can see it. Well, put up a few trees, whatever it is to make it so it blends. But don't say you have to take it out. And you know, and where is this community coming in? Because here's what happens, issue is we have been programmed. We have now been programmed.
Perfect.
Because back when HOA started, people bought into this, it maintains property values. And if everything, we talked about it the last time I was on your show, if everything is beige, then you have better property values. Well, that's not true. It's the beige makes everything the same, so it neither excites or offends anybody. So now you come in and that pink house offends one person or two people, and all of a sudden you're beating up on some poor sick kid. and the reality is it doesn't hurt property values across the board. In my humble opinion, it's for that small group of people that have been conditioned that everything should be beige and be the same.
You know, when you have people who go into a beige community, because we have some here that have been, you know, all of these mandatory membership associations kind of started over here, the big ones, and they all had these paint chips and these paint colors, and everything has got to be Berk Center Brown or, you know, whatever the 70s, 60s and 70s colors were, pink refrigerators. But the minute you drive into a neighborhood like that, it says dated, and you can't do a damn thing about it. You can't fix it. You can't update it. You can't refresh it because it's in the covenants, because everybody thinks that their property values are going to be better, but it's not, because buyers come in. They're not going to say this is an older house. It's built better than the garbage they're building now. If I don't like that brown, I can paint it, but you can't.
I think what we're talking about here, or what I'm seeing our conversation is we're talking about symptoms. If you're a doctor, you can't just treat symptoms. You have to get to the heart of the disease, and you have to fix the disease. And I hate to say that what we have here is a disease, but we have a problem. And we're sitting here and we're talking about the symptoms of the problem. We're talking about the people that get beat up over the flag, or the people that get beat up over the house, or all of these symptoms. And I think what I see as an industry and as people who want to make a difference is we can't just keep arguing over the symptoms, because you'll never cure the problem. We have to get to the heart of it, and that's for people on every side, the local government, the developers, the homeowners, the management companies, and the state government. And there needs to be some type of a task force or a think tank or someplace where we sit down and we say, okay, here's the issue. This is the realities of this issue, and here's the global problem. How do we fix it across the board? Because we know it's not going away. So how do we make it that people are not going to be opposed to this style of living, that their investments will be protected? What can we live with? What can we not live with? And how do we make it so the governance structure cannot harm individuals and continue to perpetuate this problem? And so to me, that's where I see we need to go, because, you know, as a manager, we have CAI and here in California, we have CACM, and they have excellent education. I could have a master's degree. Hell, I probably do have a master's degree in HOA management. The problem is the people that set the direction are the board members. And other than having a pulse and maybe owning a home, that's the only requirement to serve. Now, you tell me the viability of any big business. You tell me if you would have any stocks in major corporations if their government structure and the way they ran their business was whoever raised their hand, and maybe either through apathy or through knocking on a few doors, is who was put in charge, regardless of their education, their global understanding, or any business acumen. You tell me how that is a viable business solution.
It's not, Ricky, and I see a whole lot of problems involved, and I don't think that going to professional board members is a good idea, because then you have other people telling you how to live. We call these things communities, and they're anything but communities. In a community, people have things in common, and they get together, and they work together, and they're all on the same level. In an HOA, people have, you have different degrees of members. You have board members, you have committee members, you have people who've been there a lot longer, you have people who are spying on other people. It's not a community. It's not people who are getting together and saying, we have a problem and let's put our heads together and fix it. You have people who tell you how you're going to fix it. And these people, as you point out, don't know what they're doing. They don't have, they don't have the education, they don't have the background, they don't have the experience. And they volunteered, and some of them have been there for 100 years because the power's gone to their heads, and they just don't want to budge. I mean, you know I'm telling the truth here.
You know what? I have had amazing board members over the years, not necessarily great business people. Some of them have been, and some communities have an amazing, very astute board. The problem is you're just one election away.
That's exactly
from that
right.
Changing.
That's exactly
so
right.
So from my standpoint is that the structure of these communities has to be fixed from whether it's the state level or the national level, where they say, okay, this is what you can't. Let me go back and give you an example. Is for years, every time you open the newspaper, you would see some lawsuit about somebody flying the American flag or putting up an election sign in California.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? California is wonderful for chaptering really ill-thought-out legislation. But in this case, they came in and they said, you know what? No more with the signs, flags, and banners. Here is the law that every association is going to follow, regardless of what your CC&R said. And you know what? Oh, in the beginning, the sky is falling mentality, people, you know, it's going to be horrible. But guess what? A couple years later, it really made no difference. You once in a while get the phone call from the homeowner that says, oh my gosh, they put up the election sign. And I say, well, I'm sorry, that's allowed by law. And they grumble, but they go away. So now it's not a problem anymore, because the legislation tied the hands of the board members and saying, you're not going to fight about this anymore. And then they did it with solar energy, and then they did it with clotheslines. So, and then they made it so that adopting a rule, there's so much red tape to it that most board members throw up their hands because they say, well, it's so expensive or this, that, or the other. But what it did to is it made board members really stop and think, is this rule important enough to go through this process, this expensive, time-consuming process? So now all of a sudden, people are thinking. So when I say we've got to fix the symptoms, if we were able to get everybody together and on the same page and fix this globally and say, you know what? Whatever state you're in, we're not going to fight this fight anymore, because now people are forced into this. And yes, there is a standard that everybody should be able to agree on nobody's ever going to agree on everything, but the majority of Americans can agree that these few things will improve their lives and keep their investment good and sound. And we're going to do away with all the petty, excuse my language, bullshit that drives everybody crazy. And that's where we need to go. And I think the next place is we have to protect these corporations. And I don't think you could do it with volunteer board members. I almost see another organization over the top, and I'm just throwing this out there, that is regulating and ensuring that the proper reserve funds are being set aside so that board members are forced to make the necessary repairs and maintenance.
You know, when I started doing this show, I used to say, you know, whatever you do, make sure that you've got reserves, because I want to make sure that I can afford to make any repairs that come along. So I want to make sure that I have some money there. And that's exactly the same thing that you have to do with an HOA. I got slam dunked by a lot of my listeners, or quite a few of my listeners, because they don't want reserves there, because they don't want money sitting there that's just sitting there without any supervision. We've heard so much about the embezzlements from board members, from treasurers, from managers, you know, and there's no, so you go to the local police, they're not going to do anything about it. So it means you have to go to court, you have to find an attorney who understands what's going on. I think there needs to be better oversight somehow.
Personally, I think, I am not naive. I know these types of things happen. I have personally never seen it or attached myself to these people. I think more of the crime is people who don't know what's going on, or they're sticking their heads in the sand and allowing these places to rot. And you know what's really funny is the board members that keep the assessments low and they don't fix anything, or they just slap paint on it, and homeowners come in and say, our board is great because they have not increased assessments for 10 years.
Yeah.
But yet when the place starts falling apart, they want to blame the new board that's there. It's typically the board that comes in and everything is falling off the cliff, and they have to come in and fix things, and then they're the people that are getting roasted because now all of a sudden assessments are going up or things are happening, and people don't want to admit that it was their apathy for 10 years or their short-sightedness that got them here. We have this need in America to blame somebody else. It can't be my fault. It has to be somebody else's fault. I came up with an idea 7 or 8 years ago, and I sat down with some pretty savvy people, and one of the things is, if you live in an association with 2,000 homes, and you have an expense, obviously your portion of that expense is much less on an individual basis, so it doesn't hurt as much. Well, to replaster a pool in a community with 2,000 people costs the same as it does to plaster a pool in a home with 60 people.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do you think that expense impacts 60 people as opposed to 2,000 people?
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely correct. And we've talked about this in the past. You know, it's an economy of scale. And
it's an economy of scale, exactly.
And go on.
Well, I was going to say, my idea was, and it's funny because I went to several industry leaders at the time, and some of them laughed in my face, and somebody said, oh my gosh, Vicki, this is brilliant, but our world just isn't ready for it. But my idea was, and in some ways I think people might chafe because HOA assessments have kind of replaced a tax and have become a tax in many ways.
It's not that they've replaced them, it's in addition to them.
It's so, in addition to the tax, exactly. It's a tax on top of a tax, because you're supposed to be paying for a lot of this through your tax dollars, and you're not. So my idea was, is because I sit here, Shu, and I see some associations, and they have $1 million, $2 million dollars sitting in their reserves, and it's sitting there maybe making 0.25% interest, 0.25% interest. Maybe things are a little bit better. Maybe now if you put it in a 3 or 5 year CD, you might get 1.5% interest. So there's billions, perhaps trillions of dollars nationwide sitting in these HOAs, and that money is not working for the people. It's sitting there, and it's just stagnating. And so I sat down with who I think is one of the most brilliant reserve people, Damien Esparza from Barrera & Company. And I sat down with our CFO at the time, and we put together a plan and said, you know, if we came up with maybe some type of a trust or something where you took communities that were like and had many of the same amenities and the same needs, and you put them in a conglomerate, whatever you want to call it, and you had a professional that went in, you took the reserve responsibility away from the boards, and you put it with a professional that understands the concept, that knows what it's doing. The first thing, the need for the homeowners, because of economy to scale, decreases dramatically. And the soundness of their investment increases dramatically, because now they're guaranteed that work is going to get done. In addition to it, under a trust with people who know what they're doing as far as investments go, you're making that money work for you. So not only do you have better investments, not only do you have economy to scale, you have a way to safely protect these homeowners to make sure that their investment is sound and those reserves are funded and the work is being done. So now if you have a reserve study that says you need new roofs, and the reserve study person or the engineer or the project manager, whoever that comes out and says, you know what, you need new roofs, there's no argument about it. There's no need for a special assessment because the money is there and it happens. So that was my idea to put out. And, you know, I've really been thinking lately that maybe it's time to resurrect something like this, or at least start talking about it.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned that. It almost sounds a bit like an insurance plan, where
yes,
everybody
an insurance plan.
Everybody puts the money in this pool, and you know, when you need it, it's there.
It's there, absolutely. It's there. If you have 10,000 people putting in, and you've got economy of scale, and you have a means to make that money work for you, you know what? It's going to cost you less, but you also know that you have people who know what the heck they're doing administering it. And think from, I think of the sale process now, you cannot believe the questions these lenders are asking, because they're scared to death because they don't want their investment. They're investing in this homeowner, you know, and so they want to make sure it's a sound investment. But the reality is, I laugh, you know, several years ago, the state of California came in and they were going to fix the reserve problem. And we have all of these disclosures, and we have this and we have that. And it was supposed to protect people. You know what? The legislature, it is not worth the paper it's written on. If, as a professional.
Yeah, but who's lobbying for all of this legislation? It's CAI. It's the industry.
And you're right. And I hate to say this, because I love my industry, but people aren't getting out of their own way. I don't even think a lot of the leaders in our industry see the big picture. I don't think they do. You get used to doing something the same way for years and years and years, and you don't see the big picture. Or people don't want to change, because you know what? There's people out there with big companies making money. Is why fix something
exactly.
If it's not broken in their mind? But
exactly.
It is broken, and they're seeing it
exactly.
Every day, but they don't want to admit it.
Exactly. There's a conflict of interest there, because when they go in and they start lobbying for legislation, they talk about this is what the homeowners want. Legislators don't believe them anymore, because they've been lied to so many times by your industry lobbyists. But they go ahead and they do it because they're bought and paid for, just like the common whore out there, and they go for it. But I think they're
coming. You know, can I stop you on that? Because I think the intent is very good, and I'm going to give you an example, and I don't remember if it, I think it was an assembly bill or what have you. There was a knee-jerk reaction in response to the balcony that fell off at Berkeley. And there was legislation introduced this year that was going to fix this problem where every HOA has to have an inspection every year. And if there was any problems, they had, and I don't know all of the specifics. I think they had 1 year or several months to fix it or what have you. The reality is on paper, it sounded wonderful. But the reality is incorporating it. If you came into these smaller HOAs and you said, you have to do this every year, and this is going to cost, you know, thousands of dollars. And then if there's a problem, you have to fix it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But yet you don't, where does this money come from? And they didn't change the law that says, well, you could just increase assessments or special assess. So the intent of the law was really good, but the implementation was bad. So what our industry did is they came in and they said, whoa, wait a second. This is going to kill our homeowners, and this is going to kill our board members, and people will not be able to do this. You're going to bankrupt communities, or you're going to bankrupt homeowners. And they were right. They were absolutely right. So they went in and they fought this legislation. What nobody did is sit down and say, you know what? You have a point, CAI and CACM, and you know what? You have a point, government or whoever's pushing this legislation on this side. We both have a point. So how do we fix the problem without knee-jerk legislation or bankrupting people? And that's the problem, is you fix the symptoms, you're not addressing the disease.
And I absolutely agree with you, and I think a couple of problems that I see is if a homeowner raises a question, I mean, a homeowner is always the bad guy because they ask a question, and the board becomes very defensive because they really don't know what they're doing. I was on the board. I'm not saying I was perfect, but I was on the board, and when homeowners came in and they wanted to see stuff, you know, board members got these board packets. And we sat there at the table with these board packets, and the homeowners didn't have that. And now the law says that they have to have, there has to be a packet available for them to be able to look at it. But whenever they asked a question, there was all this hush, hush, hush. Everything was under cover of darkness. There was no sunshine. There was no letting people know. I was on the board. The same people would come. I would give them my board packet and say, here. You have as much right to the information in this packet as I do, because we're neighbors and we're together in this. And we are a community. And you know what, Ricky? When they came, and this happened 2, 3, 4, 5 times, this, you know, they were comfortable. They knew that. I said, look, you can come to my house anytime, and I'll show you my board packet. You know, it's not. I don't see this as a huge problem. The only time was if we were in litigation, which fortunately we weren't, and any, you know, any sensitive type of stuff. But the rest of it, they had every right to see what we had. Every right. We had some financial questions. I asked the manager, I said, please have all the canceled checks. This was way back in the days when we had canceled checks. I said, please have them on the conference table. And I said, I will be there at 10 in the morning. Anybody who wants to come in and help me go through the cancel checks, come to the office. And I had a bunch of people who came in. But we did it together. I was on the board, but we were neighbors. We did it together. It affected all of us. I had no greater authority, no greater privilege than anybody else in the neighborhood. And I think that's when they felt comfortable. But when you say you can't have it, you know, we're going to go into executive session, we're not going to do this, that's so, so wrong. You have to talk to the homeowners. You have to bring them in. Some of them are going to be crazy. And they're going to go right, you know, you're going to sit there. But you know what? You're going to deal with them anyway. But
I've never been a crazy homeowner.
But the thing is, you know, you've got to be able to bring the homeowners in, and that's one of the big problems that we have. I would like to see us do away with fines. That's totally wrong. I would like to see us do away with non-judicial foreclosure. I don't think that as a board member I should have the right to fine you because I don't like, because you have a dusty mailbox. You know, I mean, that's just insane. If you really want to fix it, get rid of all this garbage. That's my 2 cents worth.
You know, it's funny because a couple of years ago, if you would have told me, you know, sit down and open all of this stuff up, I probably would have disagreed with you. Not because I felt that there's not a reason for transparency. I think transparency is very important because the issue was is with my job and my reality is I've got to get 16 hours into 8 to 10 hours a day. And so when you have to do all of these other things, it just adds more and more and more. And then what happens is then the questions start and a lot of times the questions aren't nice because a lot of times when people are looking things, by the time they look at things, they're playing, I'm trying to catch you rather than I want to learn. So the snowball effect of how many hours it takes out of my day is daunting. And I think that's part of where people come in is homeowners come in and they want, you know, a lot of times they're not interested at all until they're interested. Then they come in and they just want to suck up all this time. And part of you says, well, yeah, they have a right to all of this. But the other part is now I'm been working on this project for 2 or 3 years. We put it in the newsletter. We've done all of these things. And now they want to come in and they want to beat me with a stick. So people tend to go inward because they really have put their heart and soul into it a lot of times. And now somebody wants to come in and beat them up. So I think there's two sides to kind of every story. But again, I think we're getting back to symptoms rather than fixing the actual problem. Because I have had board members like you. As a matter of fact, the other day my computer wasn't working, and so I couldn't put together a board packet, so I went into a board meeting, and they had a TV, and I brought my computer, and everything up was on the TV screen.
Yeah.
And it worked out beautifully, and yeah. I thought, wow, I'm going to really start trying to do this
yeah.
and save a few million trees because boy do we generate paper.
Yeah.
And you know what, people sat there and they sat around the TV and we were able to explain things to them and it was really quite beautiful.
Absolutely, but they have every right to know that. I mean, I'm not saying that they should come in and beat up the manager, but as a board member they should be able to go to your board member and the board member should be confident enough to turn it over. I mean, you're making the board packets anyway. So I have a board packet. Why would I keep it secret? I would, you know, I would.
And the board member should be. And that's another thing, Shu, is not all board members are created equal, just like not all managers are created equal, and all homeowners are not created equal. Okay, trust me, I get that point. But part of the problem is you get a board member who either it innocently but doesn't understand the big picture. You get one that has their own agenda on something, and all of a sudden homeowners are going to their home and they're not getting the information that they really need, or that information is being twisted. So again, the finding the perfect anything is difficult. Now, if you had a board that was truly working like a board and they were working like a team and understanding that, you know what, you respect the process, you do the right thing, and sometimes you're on the winning side of the vote and sometimes you're on the losing side of the vote, but you support the process and the team effort because everybody did their job, then it wouldn't be a problem.
And it should work that way. You know, Vicki, I want you to come back because I think this has been such an interesting show, and I'm sorry, but we really and truly are out of time. Amazing how quickly.
Well, I would love to be back.
Let's talk about how we can fix things.
Well, let's talk about it. You know, as I said, I have a letter out to Governor Brown and the Attorney General and the Lieutenant governor and saying, we've got to do something. And you know what? I see a lot of fighting. I see a lot of arguments, and I see a lot of good points. But until we start talking to each other instead of at each other, it's not going to get better. And we need to be emissaries of change, because our home is where we need to go to be safe and feel safe and get away from the stress.
I agree.
And
thank you so
much. That's what it comes down to.
Thank you so much, Vicki. Thanks for joining us.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.